The creator stands on his own judgment. The parasite follows the opinions of others. The creator thinks. The parasite copies. The creator produces. The parasite loots. The creator's concern is the conquest of nature. The parasite's concern is the conquest of man.
Notice the character traits in a person really matter. That was from The Fountainhead, one of my favorite books by my favorite author, Ayn Rand, and you can get it at my website, drkenner.com. The whole idea of thinking for yourself, owning your own life, pursuing your own personal rational goals, and creating your own happiness for yourself is what you want in life. But many people just like throw that out the window and feel that they can just mooch off of other people and let other people do their thinking and follow the crowd and bootlick and join the clubs that other people join, even if they don't like them, or do whatever other people do. Or if they're real moochers, meaning they just don't have any, they don't even want to work for a living, they will adopt an attitude of entitlement. It's owed to me. Because I'm a human being, it's owed to me. And you're so lucky, you know, you have a job and you will go out and get a job. You know, that option you're supposed to not talk about. So I hope one of the key points that you want to grasp in your own life is that happiness requires your ability to think for yourself, to think independently. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner, and right before the break, I was talking with Chris, who's in a tough situation. Chris, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Your situation is that your ex, were you married? You just dated for 10 years. You were with him for 10 years, and you got pregnant, and he just flew the coop. He went out to Texas to work with horses, right? And for 3 years, he has not been with your son, and so that you've responsibly taken care of your son for the 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And now, and he hasn't volunteered to send you any money, your ex, he hasn't volunteered any help. And suddenly he wants to have the luxury of coming in and spending a few hours with your son.
Right.
And you're trying to weigh the odds, and you're saying you never want to get back together with him.
No, I do not see a future with him.
Even though there are some decent character traits that he has, there are some others, his breaking the trust and his complete irresponsibility in this area,
yes,
that are unforgivable,
mm-hmm,
that he would be involved in your life. If you crack open the door, it's called the foot in the door technique.
Yes.
He gets a foot in the door, then he will get another foot in the door, and then he'll get emotional, he'll get your son to connect with him a little bit, and then it's out of your control partly as your son grows older, right?
Okay, yeah.
Meaning you don't know, because if he says, I want to go with daddy, you have too many tugs there. And if you didn't want him to go with him, then it's a problem.
Yeah.
Now, they may connect later, and that may be their independent decision. But what I've heard so far, I haven't heard anything positive about him that would warrant you having to make the sacrifice of having him come in. It sounds like a sacrifice on your part.
Yes. Yes.
And you do not owe him just because he's the daddy. The burden is on him to have earned the right to come back into your life. If he spent the next 3 years really working hard to maybe do some introspective work, go to therapy, and figure out how he could be involved properly,
mm-hmm,
then I would see some effort on his part to be a decent dad.
Yeah.
But at this point, it sounds like he just wants the luxury on a whim, spontaneously,
right,
to pop in. I'm assuming, I don't know what motivated him.
I'm not sure.
Maybe it's the guilt.
Maybe. Yeah, and for him to come in, get a couple of pictures, and walk away. You know, and like I said to him, I talked to him 2 days ago, and I told him I was doing this, and I wanted to do the research from both angles. For him to come in for a day, and then who knows, the next time, a child needs absolute consistency, whether it be with the way I discipline him or whatever.
Right.
And him coming in for one day is not being consistent, so.
Right.
That was my fear.
Right. That wouldn't be consistent to just see him for a day. Also, that raised that to come in and take pictures. When you mention pictures, that irks me because I'm wondering if he's got a new girlfriend or something, and the girlfriend says, "Well, you don't even have a picture of your son."
Oh no, I send him pictures all the time.
Oh, so he does. Oh, so you are in contact with him.
Oh yes, I have maintained contact throughout. I've educated him. I send him little notes all the time. He took his first step, whether I got a response or not. I send him every 6 months. I send him a photo of the little, you know, the little plastic photo albums that you can buy. I fill it with photos and I send it to him. And the response is usually, "Thank you. They're nice."
Yeah. Okay.
You know, not very enthusiastic.
And he doesn't respond back to that at all, Chris?
Not normally. I usually have to push it. "Hi, did you get my email? Did
see,
you hear what I
you're
said
the
about
one,
your son?"
You're the one that's the go-getter. You're the one that's making the effort. You're the responsible one.
Yeah.
And if he's just doing a knee-jerk reaction, well, maybe the guilt builds up or maybe curiosity builds up. But at this point, I think you would need more evidence for you to be convinced that this is a good thing. And the fact that you're making the phone call and doing the research tells me that you've got enough ambivalence.
Yeah.
That the negatives are weighing in strong enough for you to put up some red flags.
Right.
So you could even sit down and do a pros and cons sheet for yourself, because there may be some details that I don't know about and shouldn't be on radio.
Right.
But you could do a pros and cons sheet to see what would be the benefits, both short range and long range.
Yes. Okay.
You know, give it the thought. So I hope that helps you. And you can give
me
a call back and let me know how things go.
Okay. I should have gone with my instincts, like my mother always said, "If in doubt, don't do it."
Okay. Well, you know what? Instincts are not good. It's your considered judgment, which is exactly what you're going by.
Uh-huh.
Because sometimes your instincts can be wrong.
Yeah.
So when I say instincts, I mean your gut feelings.
Right.
And
right.
So you want to just take your gut feelings, take a closer look at them, because sometimes they're right. But many times they're off base. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Well,
thanks so much for the call.
It.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Dr. Ellen Kenner. My number's toll-free, 1-877-DR-KENNER. I'm a clinical psychologist, and you can call me with any questions that are on your mind. Anything to do with family or friends or problems with procrastination or jobs or a boss or elderly parents, any of those types of situations that you would call a counselor for or a therapist for. And of course, it's free advice. Again, you can jot down the number toll free, 1-877-DR-KENNER. Now, I want to tell you what I did this week. Wednesday morning, I got up at 5:45 in the morning. I packed a little bag for myself. I packed my headset with my rumba and my samba music. I packed some fun magazines, some, you know, magazines about traveling, some magazines about InStyle, or just some fun magazines, which I rarely make time to read. I put on my flip-flops, and I put on a very cool, cute blue skirt and white top, and I headed out for a day of vacation. Now, where was I going? Was I going to the beach? No. Was I going to maybe up to the mountains for some cool, fresh air or a swimming club? No. I was going in for foot surgery. And let me tell you, it turned out to be every bit as enjoyable as I anticipated. The nurses were wonderful. They had this great bedside manner. The anesthesiologist was fun and attentive, and my doc was drawing smiley faces on my feet. Actually,
would you know
one.
How for much fun it was if you were out?
I wasn't out yet. We talked for a while. I even watched them draw the blood. I used to have a blood phobia, a fear of needles, actually a needle phobia. But this time I watched her put in the IV, and I watched her. I have low blood pressure, so she actually had to pump the vein. And notice how your thinking affects your mood. I enjoyed this, and I made it a very relaxing day for myself. So the last time I had foot surgery, I traumatized myself. I filled my mind with what if? What if I can't walk again? What if I can never dance again? This time I wouldn't entertain those thoughts. So I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner on the Rational Basis of Happiness.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance, the Serious Romance Guidebook by clinical psychologist Ellen Kenner and co-author Edwin Locke.
When your tone of voice and body language contradict your words, your partner will react to the nonverbal cues. If your partner says, "But you really seem upset," and you answer, there you go again. You're always reading into things. I'm just fine. Communication has been choked. Faking your feelings only masks and compounds the problem and delays any resolution. Stifling your legitimate feelings, suspending your thinking, ignoring your own values, and nodding okay to please or appease your partner is a self-defeating tactic. Stand up for what you want. Then instead of feeling, what's the use, you feel, we can manage this difference.
You can download Chapter 1 for free by going to drkenner.com and buy it at amazon.com.